hot take for the end of the semester ain't shit.
You said the end of the semester?
Ain't shit. I hate it.
Give me more. Elaborate.
Everybody hates it because everybody always forgets how it feels until we're there. And then we're all just like, I mean, today. So I was telling this before we got on, y'all. Last night, I fell asleep writing emails. I was writing emails on my little phone. I was like, ooh, you know, it's been a day. It's been a weekend. I was doing the Atlanta Trumpet Festival. Let me write my emails. And literally fell asleep, woke up at 11 a.m. with an open email that says,
shut up. Shut up.
And then someone today when I was telling that story, because this is how I looked all day. I was like, recruiting kids, because we had kids come to university today. I said, you should come to UNG. Wow. Look at my face. That's why. I ended up playing Ultimate Frisbee with the kids. It was great. But, yeah. Fell asleep for 3 hours. By the way, I started the emails at 8. And then woke up at 11 a.m. Crazy work.
Anthony, how do you feel about the idea that end of the semester ain't shit, as Michael has stated?
Well, you know, for us public ed teachers, it is not the end of the semester. We are still trucking, rolling, and I'm in the middle of a sickness right now. Okay? To me, it is not the end of the semester until at least week 2 of December.
Oh, we're done by then.
I know. College, yeah, y'all are done. But like for public teachers, I mean, the last day of classes is December 19th. So like, I cannot be in the mindset to already be like, it's the end, because it's not.
That's a whole month.
Right.
This is the last week of classes.
No.
Yes.
December.
That's finals week.
College is a scam. Hot take. Damn. College is a scam.
Yeah, y'all know when we were in college, we would have killed for that.
I mean, yeah, kind
of. Honestly, I was fine. Like, we would get out the first week of December, and then finals right. week after that. And most of the time, we didn't have to take finals. So, right. honestly, we I was fine. Like
1 to 2 weeks into December. We always went in 2 weeks of December.
No, well, the second week was finals, but that's what I said. Yeah. The first week of December, and then the second week would be finals, and like
that's 2 weeks into December. See, we don't do that.
But I never did. I never had finals, so
we always had juries.
I don't count those as finals.
Those are literally finals.
I know what they are. I'm just saying, me personally, in my
you
head,
can't say you don't count.
In my head, those don't count as finals. Finals is where I show up to a big room and I sit and do a little scantron.
I hated this. I'm looking up our 2016 archival calendar.
It's like,
I hate this.
I
okay, sorry, they don't do 2016. Okay, here's fall 2017. First day of classes was okay, August 4th was the payment deadline for current students.
That was crazy. That used to be very stressful for me.
And then the final registration for all students was August 9th through 10th. First day of classes was August 14th.
Yeah, great. I was like, I thought it was mid-August.
Finals week was December 5th through 11th.
See, that's what I'm talking. See, you love to pull up stuff to try to disprove.
No, I literally just wanted to jog my memory. I was not trying to prove you wrong. See, Anthony's sick. So he's in a mood.
Anywho, what I was saying.
Y'all just beware. If you ever see Anthony sick, he's in a mood.
Is. But no, I for finals week and when we were in college, I remember going home so early. I used to be like, okay, well, this is fun. Now I literally just came back from Thanksgiving and I'll see y'all next year. Maybe? Question mark? Like, that's how it really was. But, you know, in public school, we go until the week before Thanksgiving. I mean, ooh, no. the week before Christmas, which I feel like when we were in public school, we would at least get the week before Christmas out. But maybe that was just me. I really cannot remember when I was in grade school. But like, I feel like December 19th is pushing it very close to Christmas.
It's
It really
almost
is.
technically a full because like 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25.
I guess when we count numbers, but no.
See Anthony again, y'all. Anthony would just be like, I said, hey, jury's in the finals for music. He said, don't count, Dad.
My head, I don't count that. I'm like, no, I need done by December 15th.
Maybe I was lying about when I was in Western Michigan, y'all. I was looking at Western Michigan's calendar.
You were.
Oh.
You like to lie.
Anthony, I know you're not the one saying that.
And
Oh no, it was the same time because we didn't. We actually, so contrary to Anthony's belief, we really didn't have finals for that. So we started like September 1st at 8 a.m. and our finals week was 13 through 16, which was a second full week of December.
yeah, when I was getting my master's at UGA, I think we were done literally the week after Thanksgiving. Yeah, we were done. And then I definitely didn't have finals in my graduate studies. So yes, Lauren, I agree. College is a scam. It's a scam.
Don't think it's a scam.
No, that was just me being sad that you can't take off a full month of work.
Right, you really can't take a full
You
month.
really can.
I don't think you can.
You just gotta know how to finesse it right.
Hot take,
And
Michael should not be hired anywhere.
hot take.
I really don't think that's a hot take, actually.
That's true. That's just a normal take. Okay, wait. Hot take. Music directors of tier one symphonies get paid too much.
Depends on how often they're there.
Let's break this down. And the reason I'm saying this is like most symphony orchestras are they need help right now. None of them are like, oh yeah, we're good, we don't need any help, we're fine, like everything's perfect. And if you go take a look at what music directors make, a lot of them it's crazy, like whatever number you're thinking, push it up. And music directors tend to not actually be there, like they're not really full-time at all. These are like they act like contracted positions. But they get paid like they're like running backs. Whoa, I guess not, depending
I
on.
hate you so much.
Wait, are you giving
I
butt?
know, sports.
Oh, come on, let's be honest.
I say this being somebody who is within the like American orchestral field and hearing my colleagues all around the country just talking about everyone struggling, like we're having to roll back a lot of things right now. And then I just can't help but think about like, the amount of money that is in the orchestra that is being paid to positions, like single positions that are barely there. And I know the whole thing because the importance of it is like, well, they're the face and they draw people in and all this other stuff. But it's like, well, that is how it has been done, absolutely. But I think also the issue is that now music directors have multiple positions, and we talked about this before. Now, like usually, music directors have multiple positions they have, so they're getting these like incredible salaries from multiple organizations, and they're still doing guest conducting things as well on top of that. And so, it's really hard to for me, especially as someone who I'm a full time, I work full time for my symphony orchestra. I'm there like sometimes over 12-hour days for events. And like we're doing all we can, the development the people are there fundraising their money and everything. We're trying to get people to the concerts, doing community engagement, getting new people in the building, and it's just kind of like there's an elephant in the room that no one wants to address, and this is me addressing it of saying like I know it's this whole prestige thing of we need our music directors to make basically $1 million, if not like just kind of slightly in that range, and it's like. if you want your orchestras to survive and you're not changing much of anything else, that salary is going to have to come down at some point.
Absolutely. And that's from a conductor standpoint, no shade.
I don't know if this is true, but I just stumbled upon a screenshot from 7 years ago. So Boston was 1.3 million. Mutti was 2.7 million. Now I will say Mutti conducted a great amount of the subscriptions at Chicago.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But $2.7 million worth of the that's my question. I mean, good God, like explicit words. I forget my middle schoolers, they listen to this.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
two
Dudamel is 1.9 million. And that makes sense. I mean, he's very popular. And a lot of people probably go to the orchestra to see him. I know I would go to that orchestra to see him.
There are so many educators that are actually teaching these musicians that get in these orchestras who are making cents on a dime, who literally have to pick up second jobs, third jobs just to feed their family and come to school and be that child's network. $1.7 million, $2.7 million, $30 million, hell, $150,000. That can go to these educators that are out here doing the work, not, oh, well, they conducted a Beethoven on a subscription concert. Who is in the weeds doing it day in and day out with a smile on their face, whether it's good days, bad days, whatever personal things they got going on. So you mean to tell me that I go conduct a piece of music that homie's been dead since 1850 for some crickety people in the audience, I deserve millions of dollars for. And this is no shade. And this is from a person who conducts. It is. But, and especially when you're not even there the whole time, you're not actually invested in the community of these places. I mean, say the people that you just said, and you're like, oh, they deserve it. What have that person done for the community of said organization besides stepping on a podium and creating very fine art? I'm not shading the art. The art is very high. I'm sure it's great. Lovely. Go orchestra. However, what else? I need a breakdown in receipt
Right.
of what.
I think the thing is like working with music, like having the chance to like see now for myself what a tier one like symphony's music director's schedule and everything looks like and what they do. Here's the thing. What they do is important in the sense of, yes, they're the face of the organization. People are drawn in because of them. The music directors are doing all this donor stuff, which of course needing the money for the orchestra, etc. They go out and every now and then do community things. And depending on if you have a person whose job is community partnerships, hello, like you can get more and more of that, but it's limited, right? Because like I don't get to control her schedule. I just get told when she's available for things, which is a part of it too. I think the biggest thing that we need to say and all, because like MDs, especially the smaller the orchestra you go or the organization you go, the more like invested they are in the community. These are usually like younger like conductors who are really excited to be in it and they're really trying to like get their footing in the world. They want to be in the community. They want to know people. That's what you want for your music director. I'm sure Ricardo Muti is known by everyone in Chicago, like especially in the arts world of like at least his name, what the organization of the Chicago Symphony itself, and like they have seen him at various things in the community because he's been there for a super long time. And same for Dudamel. We know all the stuff in like LA that Dudamel, especially with the with YOLA, the youth orchestras and everything. The what I am saying is, does the amount of money these music directors make constitute for all of the money issues that orchestras are going through. It's like it feels imbalanced. Orchestras are suffering, their relevancy is dropping because they're not like it's not being as taught. It's not normal. Like it's not in the bones like it used to be for us. And then like to still have these 2.7, 1.9, $1.3 million salaries, it doesn't feel like the scales are balanced. We need to like rebalance the scales.
And I agree. I agree. I agree. Yes. On the ones that I showed, the only one that actually made sense was the Dudamel one because he got 1.9. The orchestra revenue that year was 143 million. Like that one was fine. Now others got like 2.9 and the orchestra only made $50 million that year in revenue. That doesn't make as much sense.
Right.
But I also like I'm not okay with them getting paid that much when you're sitting in front of the musicians. And they're making a tenth of that.
If.
Like, let's say Principal Trumpet in Atlanta was just advertised, I think it was like 100 or 110. I know Natalie's making over $1 million.
Oop.
So you're telling me, like, she has to at least be making 900, 800, 700, like around. But you're telling me that, like, the principal trumpet is that much below the music director, but also how much is the concert master making? See, this is where people also forget, girl. Them concert masters get to make their own contract. They're not a like community. They're not like the everybody else contracts. Concert master said, "I should learn violin." They're just sawing away, not doing nothing.
I want to know the lifestyle of I'm going to play a couple concerts and have $900,000 in my bank account.
This is the way I always love to do this because we all get paid around once. Wait, do we all get paid once a month or is that just me?
I get twice.
It's just you.
Oh, darn.
Not darn.
It's just you. Well, I'll
No,
break it down for y'all
the thing
too.
about it is music directors, because they'll immediately come and say, "We're busy, we're busy, we never have time." It's because you got three different music director positions and you're doing all this guest conducting. So they're making even more than what their like online salary is saying. And the thing is, you are accepting those positions. It's hard for me, for especially the women conductors of Tier One symphonies right now, to do any criticism because we do need more representation there. But I am speaking to, specifically to the positions themselves, that it is becoming a thing more and more often that music directors have multiple orchestral positions at the same time instead of like spreading that wealth and doing more in the areas that you're in instead of being like in three different orchestras.
So imagine getting $50,000 direct deposited on the 1st and 15th of every month.
Oh.
Girl, that and that's easy money for them.
I wouldn't know what to do. I'm sorry. I would go buy a new car every first.
But that's what I'm saying. Oh my gosh. $50,000, that's somebody's 1 year's salary. You mean to tell me you get $50,000 twice a month when there are band directors, orchestra directors, choral directors that are out here, and that is their entire year's life.
Okay, so instead of them, imagine getting paid $18,000 at the end of every month
Still.
to be a football coach.
Okay, see, here's the thing, because I knew we're gonna have people who go into the, "Oh, but what about sports and what about like the film industry?"
Oh, I'm
You're
not saying they better either.
No, we've talked about it
No, no,
multiple
no.
times.
No, this is a high school football coach, by the way. His salary, 18,000 at the end of every month. I'm like, I wish to yell at people and grab them by the face mask.
Here's the
I could.
thing though, at least the sports is relevant. Sports, it, not unfortunately, for sports has been and will continue to be relevant from like from the high school to collegiate to the professional. Like it is all then because there's also band culture involved in that as well. And so like it's hard to criticize that specifically to that same point of what I'm talking about, which is like the relevancy of what is
There, you can
happening.
still at the high school level, you can criticize it because if you make more than your superintendent, what does that say about your county?
Now that is crazy.
Block
That's what I'm
it.
saying. There is one city,
Block.
There's one city schools in Georgia I'm specifically naming. He makes more than everybody except for the superintendent. That means all the other assistant superintendents, every principal. He's literally the second highest paid person in that ecosystem.
Why specifically him?
What do you mean?
Like, why is he getting paid more?
Is that
special in terms of is he doing something to make that salary?
He was supposed to win a state championship.
What school can you describe a school without saying the name?
Drop it in the chat.
Is it where we lived?
Oh, it's not in Middle Georgia, girl. They ain't got that much money.
I'm not saying. I said where me and you.
Oh, it's in Georgia. Yes.
No, like close to where me and you lived 2 years ago.
Oh no.
Okay, it's not that place.
So think toward Alabama.
Not
okay.
It is with a ton. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
I'm not with you. I'm not with you.
Okay, wait. Let's see.
I was like, chat? Yeah, I was like, that.
Right, because I'm not getting sued. I'm just not going to tell you guys.
I am not going to get sued. We already got another lawsuit on the way, y'all.
Ooh. Well, check out last week episode. Ooh.
Listen, if y'all haven't, we should have an episode called Don't Get Us Canceled. Because
we should have an episode where we watch old episodes.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, cute. Wait.
But no, Lauren, I completely agree with your astonishment of like, first of all, what is the rationale between, okay, he's yelling at people, he knows how to delegate, he knows, you know, how to pick a certain blah blah blah,
right?
But to be the second highest paid behind the superintendent, meaning that you place no effort on the academic instruction of your county at all, because I am most sure that coach does nothing within the school besides be a coach. So
he was hired to win state championships, and he's been there for 4 or 5 years, and he has won.
And that's what I'm saying. And like, you know, especially when you get into that professional music world and what those conductors do. Hot take.
Ooh. Oh, I have another one after you.
Hot take. Conductors are only as good as the people that are in front of them.
Mm. Ooh, I have another hot take to go with your hot take.
So, you know, there's a lot of conductors who get in front of certain groups and they're like, oh my gosh, they're so good. And I'm like, well, the musicians are great. Now, as a conductor, I guess we influence and we do a lot, you know, managing. But after a certain point, there's less teaching. Even in the collegiate realm, there's a lot of teaching still being had because everybody is still learning something. But when you get into that professional world, it's like, okay, just do this. And they do it. I mean, so again, going back to that $2.7 million tag, really? 2.7? Maybe let's drop a mil. At least drop a mil and divide it amongst the people that are actually doing the work to make you look good, which are those musicians and the people, not just the musician, but the people that work in the whole organization.
And I here's the thing too, because music directors, yes, there's a lot of programming going on. The conductors step in. You may have three rehearsal days to get a concert program together. But if y'all are consistently playing the same old music here, I remember one of my teachers being like, I could play every single Beethoven symphony from memory at this point because of how much in her life she had been like, we play this all the time. I can just play it. And so like the thing is, it would be more impressive and maybe even speak more to why those salaries are needed if you were actually putting new programming in every concert, you were doing innovative like concert programming and everything. But if you're playing the same old thing all the time and you just rinse and repeat, it's already less relevant. So all I am like exposing in this moment is the fact that there is a imbalance in like what you are offering to the public and what you are still like the salaries for your MDs and maybe even concert masters, but that's a whole other thing. But like I agree with that because you're coming in, these are world-class musicians, a lot of them have played this music before, so all you're doing is like tweaking, and making sure everyone's aligned with like, hey, this is how we are going to do the Beethoven this time, because conductors get to have that. That is why they're there. But yeah, I don't know. I would be more justified in them having those salaries if they were actually being innovative with the what they're, and innovative is not hiring the new youngest like violin Juilliard grad to play the Czech violin concerto. That is not innovation.
No.
That is not innovation. Innovation is bringing Solange in for this new project that she's doing and working with your orchestra to figure that out. Like, okay, we've never done anything like this before.
Now,
How do we market to the people we want in the building? How do we fundraise and get the partnerships we want? How do we make sure our musicians are well prepared and trained to like be able to appreciate and play this like style of music in a way that is like honoring to what the culture actually is? How do we work with musicians and artists who are not specifically coming from that like classical based mindset and institution? If you were doing more of that, you would be more justified in making what you do. If you're not doing that, then and your orchestra is struggling, you're part of the issue.
Now, shout out Houston Symphony Orchestra, because they did that. They brought my girl Solange in, and it was the El Dorado Ballroom first night. And it was members of the Houston Symphony Orchestra that played who had a female Black conductor. And so, like, actually collaborating, and then Solange is there, and it was new music by Solange and Tanya Leon. Like, that is, I will support that organization. And this is a moment, and I think I said this when I first went to El Dorado Ballroom, but that is an organization where I'm gonna put my money to. Now, let me just say this.
Oh, and they sound good as hell.
And they do sound really great. Houston Symphony Orchestra, these are not my what the ticket prices I'm used to. At the ASO, I could go there for relatively cheap, okay? For some good prices. Houston Symphony, they said no. Even the teacher prices, I'm like, what's going on? But you know what? I will pay it. Because not only was Solange, such a very pivotal moment for classical music and me being there, but I went to the Latin night where every piece of music was representing of all Latin countries, and seeing all these beautiful people from every country of Latin America represented, and the everyone speaking Spanish, and like I'm sitting there like, I know very little, but I'm here for it because I'm like, this is what I will put my money to. You have all these different cultures. It's Houston. Houston is very multicultural, and the fact that they're doing these type of events, I'm going to support you. Now, some other places, I don't really see it. Even my home symphony orchestra, no shade. No shade. I'm just
Not no. He said that's for y'all.
Oop.
Let's see what other hot takes we can have.
Albert Einstein is Michael's least favorite person.
I truly don't give a hell about him.
That's so crazy.
Really? His whole face
Yep.
right behind you.
That was a gift.
Now, someone, the person who gave you that said to listen to this.
Like, I'm not giving you no gifts.
I got a really good gift yesterday. So the parents of one of my students brought me chocolate from Japan.
Oh.
They like flew it in and they brought it to me. I was like, wow, it's pretty
Not wow.
Chocolate. Chocolate.
Let's see
Y'all
a
remember
week
that episode?
of what?
SpongeBob.
Oh, yeah. Chocolate. That's
Last piano is overrated.
Michael.
You know, die on that hill. Just, I mean, I just, yeah, you know, fight the piano professors.
I really do think.
Tell me why. Tell me why we need it. I'm ready. Thank you.
That's not my caption.
Vocalist needed.
Who?
Vocalist needed.
Anthony, tell me why you needed it when you went through school.
Do I teach choir?
What is your you what were what was your applied instruction in school?
As a vocalist and as a choral music education person, piano is a necessity if you're going to teach choir. Somebody got to know how to play the piano.
Yes.
Now, granted, my high school director, there's many reasons why I said that. But in this case, he was not a piano person at all. However, he relied on demonstrating a lot. So, like, he ended up being more of an a cappella group. Like,
Yeah.
he did a lot more a cappella singing and pieces because he was just not fluent in piano. But that is also saying why class piano for vocal music people is important, because you come on now, like, you got to do something. It's vocal music. Piano is always going to be there. Now, for us band directors and stuff, do we ever need to be on the keyboard? No. The only keyboard thing you need to know is how to use a harmony director. Here's an F, here's a B flat, here's how to hold it, and boom, let's go. Here's the metronome. That's it. So, but I can go either here. I tested out a class piano when I was in undergrad, so there's, but
Class piano was merely a class for me. That's really true. Barely that. I'm gonna be honest. Like,
Oren had it so easy for two straight semesters. I only had it easy for one semester.
I had Miss Coochie
Me too. I swear to the
Love
girl, she
her.
has. And then,
I know she had them headphones off because I know we were terrible.
first of all, speak for yourself. I was up there. Some people want
I'm
it
so
all.
weak.
Okay, what's another hot take?
You had one when Anthony was talking about
Oh, well, no, mine was just like, if we're going to talk about these football coach. Wait, Anthony, what was your last hot
yeah,
take?
what was your last hot take?
Y'all, this is how we're gonna get caught,
You
because
know,
this really shows that we just be talking and don't be remembered.
it is such a great example, because for you listeners, because we're about to go to Midwest, and if you catch me at Midwest and you say, "Oh my gosh, when you said da 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 da," no, baby, it's gone. Because here's the thing: I say what I need to say. I say my piece, and then I let it go. I let it go.
Or is really
I let
trying
it
to
go.
remember. I'm really trying because we were talking about NBA
Oh,
salaries. What?
I have two hot takes for brass, three hot takes for brass instruments. I might get canceled. It's okay.
You're
The
already canceled.
flugelhorn is terrible. The French horn is not as hard as people think, and the tuba is not a solo instrument.
Okay. Well, this was fun.
Thank you for tuning in.
That's just my hot take. You know, it's hot takes. It's hot takes.
I think tuba, you have to like, it's hard to listen to, especially if you mainly listen to like, I don't mean to like, I'm,
It's hard to listen.
like, as a solo instrument, I'm a treble instrument, so I'm like so used to hearing my range. And like so it's hard to know how to and like I one of my best friends in high school was a tuba player and I that's why I was like starting to listen to like tuba concertos and stuff and at first I was like how can you follow this like I
Dang.
cannot
Anthony,
place
you hear in his back, you hear in his backtrack, girl. She is backpedaling.
I'm not saying I mean I don't hate the tuba but
I
as a
don't hate the
solo
tuba
instrument
either. But I don't think it should be a solo instrument.
It
Aren't y'all
takes.
the same people that are like, I'm so tired of hearing violin concertos? Did I
I would
say
rather hear a
anything?
tuba concerto. That to be fair, if I walked into a symphony, I would rat no matter what I want to hear a tuba over a violin.
I would rather hear neither. Just play the orchestra piece because you're an orchestra. Just
Now
play
that's crazy. Now that's a hot take. We don't need solo.
orchestra. Okay. So, okay, y'all. So here's the other thing. I don't care about soloist on orchestra stage. I'm not paying to hear the soloist because you know what I do? I walk out during the solo one. I came to hear the Houston Symphony Orchestra, not the Houston Symphony Orchestra with somebody I really don't know and couldn't care or couldn't pick out of a lineup.
And you heard them, strings and all, baby, because they were stringing.
That's all I need. Now, I'll caveat this. If it's someone I grew up listening to, like Teenage Ting Helseth, I'm going to go see the Seattle Symphony for that soloist. I don't care about the Seattle Symphony because I want to hear that soloist.
Who is that?
That would be most auntie in his business podcast.
Girl, I told y'all, I'm sick, okay? Y'all need, I done had it.
I'm over here sneezing up a storm too, girl. I think you passed it through me through this camera.
You got your own germs.
Oh, okay. Well, on that note, let's let Auntie go to bed.
Okay, wait, we need one more hot take to round it out.
Okay, guess what? Hot take. Ready? Here we go. When somebody's in the bed, let them stay in the bed. Don't call them, okay? Don't call me sick. There's a hot take. Leave me alone.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Thank you. Thank you.
And on that note, we bid you adieu, our listeners.
Azina late and whatever that lady said.
I'll be the same.
Whatever.
Oh, what's going on?